Today is an important day in the life of any church because it is a time where you sort of set your roots. You really feel like even though vintage church has been around for a little while now, you really feel like you're setting your roots when you make these leaders sort of official. And after a year plus, it's been over a year. Stephen keeps saying a year, but it's been over a year. After a year plus of examination of the lives of these three men, we as a church have decided to recognize their calling to be leaders of this church. And then we want to today officially appoint them as elders. By doing this, we are in no way saying that they are perfect, that they won't make mistakes, that they don't have room to grow, that they're not going to make you mad sometimes or upset. But that, Lord willing, that these men are committed to doing everything that they can to honor and glorify God through their leadership. I hope that all this makes sense to you, but it may not immediately. The term elder is not one used very often, especially in the sort of American church context. So with that in mind, I want to briefly discuss today, before we have our appointment, our confirmation service, a little bit of the background behind it, being an elder. Paul in Titus 1:5 said this: "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you." Appointing elders is an absolute necessity of any church. It's impossible, folks, for one pastor to help organize and somewhat control an entire congregation. There needs to be a group of leaders to help out the lead pastor in this task. Not only is it impossible for one lead pastor to take on the task of organizing and leading a church, it's also biblical to have many minds, many voices in the leadership of a church. Folks, we've seen all too often, if we've had much experience with being a part of a church body, where maybe you've experienced one pastor who has sort of taken over the reins and has become power hungry. Or maybe you've seen a congregation who has decided to boot their pastor or to take over the reins from their pastor. What a group of elders, a group of voices does is it gives us an opportunity to lead well and to lead balanced. And if you've been a part of Vintage Church, I think you've seen that in the character qualities of the men that have led alongside me. You've seen how they balance me out and how I balance them out. And hopefully, if you have, from an outsider perspective, you can see that a little bit, especially for our family and friends today. The plurality word that we're using, it simply means one man will not be at the top of the hierarchical pyramid of church leadership. Instead, we'll have a group of leaders who are equals, with me being the group head or the group director, so to speak. Understanding that we as a church are to have a plurality, that God has designed this pattern for church leadership, we have decided to adopt the term elder. Elder is one of the terms used in the Bible, and we think it fits the best. Now, I know that you're saying, I'm 32 years old, and I think the rest of the guys are at 30 or under 30. Stephen, I can't remember how old Stephen is, but I know you're saying, well, elders, you know. Elder is not necessarily a connotation for old physically. Elder is a connotation for someone who has shown wisdom, even in their young age, who has shown the ability to lead, who has shown a calling of the Lord to lead the church. And folks, I've seen that in these three men that we're going to confirm today. From personal experience, our three men are Stephen, McNeil, Blake Bostick, and Nathan Applegate. And from personal experience, I can tell you that these men are men of high moral integrity. It's very important that you have men of high moral integrity, honest, people who you can trust. From personal experience, I can tell you with complete confidence that these men lead their family well. It's very important because in the verse that Nathan read today, Nathan read a verse, and in the end of it, it's one of the most overlooked, probably, parts of the qualifications for an elder, and that is, leads his family well. If he doesn't lead his family well, ask a great question. If he doesn't lead his family well, how is he expected to lead the church? And so we see this in these lives of these men, and I want to confirm that today. They lead their family well. So having examined them over the last year plus, we're going to confirm this truth about them and their lives as they take this leadership position within the body. But before we do that, before we install them as leaders, I would like to give two callings today. Okay, don't think that this service is just about the elders. It's just about those who are going to be confirmed and installed as elders. This service is about the church also. And so there's two callings today. There's the calling to the elders, and then there's the calling to the church. We're going to discuss those two callings today. First, we're going to look at the calling to the elders. And I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter 5, and I'm going to read 1 through 4 of 1 Peter 5. And from 1 Peter 5, we're going to find the calling to the elder candidates. 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Let's pray. Father God, help us today to recognize, to understand, and to take hold of our calling as the church and as leaders of your church. Lord, help us to not overlook the gravity of what's being done today. Lord, this special calling on these lives of these men to lead. Lord, I pray that today, Lord, would just be a continuation of the leadership that they've already shown over these last few months. Over the last several months. God, that they would continue to lead well, that they would continue to be a shining example for Vintage Church, for the universal church as a whole, and for the lost. Lord, we love you and we praise you and we commit this service to you. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Today in this special service, not only will the elders be officially installed as leaders, but you as the church will be given a call. So I'm going to address the elders first. The first calling today is, an elder is called to be the shepherd of the flock. And that's found in verses 1 through 4 of 1 Peter 5. Peter has an interesting phrase to the elders of the church. He exhorts them as a fellow elder and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. Peter here is probably talking to elders who have already suffered or who may suffer in the future for their faith and their position as leaders in the church. For sure, we know that we will suffer as leaders in the church. So essentially, Peter is saying, I want to say these things to strengthen you, brothers, as elders and those who are sharing in the sufferings of Christ, to lead well. To elders and future elders, Peter is warning, with leadership comes suffering. Elders, an aspect of your calling is to suffer. And so I want you to see that as a subpoint under the calling of an elder. Suffering is part of being an elder. Folks, it's just simple. It's just true. Suffering is a part of being an elder. There are many ways from personal experience that I can tell you that you will suffer. And I want everyone to hear this. This is not just to the elders. Leaders will suffer for stances that we take. This is one way you will suffer, men. You will suffer for stances that you take. Folks, you will find this to be true. Even Christians, all Christians want you to speak truth into their life until they disagree with you. All Christians want you to speak truth into their life until they disagree with you. And then you can trust me, you will suffer for the stance that you take. Now, sometimes you will suffer more than others. A lot of times, the stances that I take them with a sharp tone and an iron fist. And I think, well, this is the way it is, and this is the way it's going to be, and everyone should either think this way or get out of my way. And so I suffer a little bit more sometimes than others suffer. But you will suffer when you take a stance that is contrary even to what other Christians believe. Leaders, you will suffer when you take stances that other people disagree with. But we have to remember as we lead, what is right is not always popular, and what is popular is not always right. You will suffer. You will suffer with people who hurt. During sickness and during death in people's lives, you will suffer with people. Trust me, some of the greatest suffering that I have gone through is having to walk alongside people who have lost loved ones or who have people who are sick that we know they're not going to recover from, and somehow find the words to tell them it's going to be okay, it's going to be all right. And even if it's not all right, God is still sovereign and God is still in control. Those are some of the most difficult times you will have. As a normal person of a congregation of a church, you at least get a break from death and suffering. Eventually, you'll run out of family members, right? Eventually, people are going to die off. But as a pastor of a church and as a part of a larger family, you will always suffer as people lose, and you will always suffer as people are sick. You're going to suffer in this way too, my friends. You will suffer as you mourn over the loss of faithful men and women who have been lost to sin. Some of the suffering that I have never gotten over, that I still suffer with on a daily basis, is having those that are closest to me fallen away and fallen from the truth of the gospel and the truth of the Holy Scriptures. Some of the greatest suffering you will suffer as leaders is when you've invested your life, countless hours, into men and women, and they fall away from the truth of the gospel. There's probably not many other greater sufferings that you will face. But folks, soon enough, these are sort of internal, sort of mental, sort of spiritual struggles. But soon enough, you will face suffering on a different level, and that is physical, painful, even to the point of death. Folks, I believe that this country is headed to that. Now, we're seeing it right now already in other parts of the world. Christians are being martyred at an unprecedented rate for modern culture. But I believe that we see the groundwork, we see the foundation for this being set, for this to happen in the American culture also. Folks, one day, being a leader of a church and even being a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to face physical suffering for what you believe. I read a story recently of a pastor who received a call from one of his leaders. They live in a country with a strong militant Muslim presence. And ISIS had come to the leader and said that he should renounce his faith or his children will die. And they promised him a second visit. The leader called his pastor and he asked, "If Pastor, will God forgive me if I renounce my faith? Will God forgive me if I renounce my faith?" Now, some of you are going to disagree with this, but I don't care. Just remember Peter. And the pastor said to him, "Of course he will. Of course he will forgive you." The next day, the man called the pastor back in tears. And of course, if you're the pastor who's getting this call, you know that the man has renounced his faith. And he said, "They came back, but they didn't ask me. They asked my children. And my children would not deny Christ. And they're dead." Folks, this is modern day. This is the type of treatment that you're signing up for. It may never come in our lifetime. It may not. But this is the type of treatment you're saying that you're willing to suffer. There will come a time where you as a leader will suffer for your stance as a leader. So we suffer. Folks, the next thing you need to hear as far as the calling of a leader is to not consider yourself esteemed above others. And this is B. Shepherding is the job of an elder. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Peter could have used any sort of occupation to compare it to that of being an elder. He could have said, Lord over the flock, or Lord over these people that are in your charge. He could have said, condescend. He could have said, you're the boss of these people. But he didn't. He said, shepherd. He said, shepherd the flock. And then he gives them some qualifications of a shepherd. Not under compulsion, but willingly. Men, if you are thinking about, or if you are going to be installed today as an elder, you need to understand, you volunteer for this job. You were not drafted. This is not under compulsion. If any of you desires the office of overseer, the Bible says, this is not a draft. This is a voluntary position. Not for shameful gain, but eagerly, he says. Now, I don't believe it's sinful for leaders to take a salary. I honestly think it's biblical for leaders to be compensated for the work, especially those who partake in teaching and preaching. But Peter says, lead as if pay is irrelevant, regardless of how much you make or if you make anything at all. Don't look at people as if they have a price tag on them, or don't judge what you're going to do in the ministry or to what level you're willing to go based on how you're getting paid or compensated. Excuse me. Another thing he says is not domineering, but being examples of the flock. Men, we must be examples for our church. Folks, this is not a do as I say and not as I do. This doesn't work in parenting, and it doesn't work in the leadership of the church. Not domineering, but being examples. Shepherd was a position that was not to be desired. It was often overlooked or forgotten. It was a nothing position. So we should not esteem ourselves as leaders. If anything, the gravity, the weight of being a leader, of being a watchman over the souls of the people of God, should push us down to our knees and to humility. See, under this calling of a leader, as sacrifice is the theme of their work. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Folks, the reward for being a leader may never be seen on this earth. It may never be seen on this earth. The reward for being a leader, however, is a future reward. But there's also an understanding for sacrifice. It's going to cost you something to lead your church and to lead it well. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you other resources. Now, church, I hope that you don't expect your needs to be put over the needs of this man's family. Because family is first at Vintage Church. It's second, right behind the glory of the Lord. This is not, you can call and every elder is going to be at your beck and call. But there is going to be sacrifice as leaders. So much so that you may never see the rewards. There are people right now in my life that I'm still praying for that I don't have as much contact with as I did. They are from Boulevard or from other areas of my life and my past that I'm still praying for, that I still spend a serious amount of time thinking about, praying about, and if I see them, talking to in hopes that God would change them with the gospel. I may never see that this side of heaven. The work that you do may never be recognized, may never be known. But it's still important. And the reward is an unfading glory that only comes through Jesus Christ. Men, the work for which you have volunteered will be some of the most painful, difficult, and frustrating work that you've ever done, but it will also be some of the most rewarding and hopeful. Do it faithful to the glory of the Lord. There's a second calling today, and that's the calling to the church. I want to look at this calling today. The church is called to submit to the authority of the elders. That's the second calling. The church is called to submit to the authority of the elders. I want to use two verses today to sort of prove this point. Our first verse is found in Hebrews 13:17, and you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it real quickly. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow, that would certainly not be for your benefit. So there's a few sub-points under that, and the first is the church is to obey the elders of their church. Now, you may not have chosen your elders specifically, but you have had a role in confirming them. You've had your time to speak now or forever hold your peace. So you've had your role in seeing that the right elders are put into place. Now, something you need to understand, church, this is not a blind obedience. Now, we don't follow elders into sin. We don't follow elders who have disqualified themselves. We don't follow elders who lead by their own agenda. But as long as these men are leading well and are walking in the Spirit with the will of God in mind, we obey them. We follow them. Because they are leaders that have been put into position by God Himself. It isn't so much that we trust these leaders or this authority without question, but that we trust the sovereignty of God without question. That we trust that God knows what He's doing. We trust that God put these men into position. Now, there are going to be times, just like you've already experienced, where you disagree with me, where you disagree with these leaders. Hopefully, they're few and far between. But we don't necessarily need to worry about trusting them as much as we trust in the sovereignty of God. Another little caveat under that is that the church is to give elders reason to rejoice. This is important. Hear me if you haven't been hearing me today, church. The church is to give the elders reason to rejoice. There have been times where for me, it has been a joy to serve you. And other times where it hasn't been so much of a joy, where it's been more of a struggle. And that's just a part of it. Sometimes I brought that upon myself, and sometimes I didn't. Now, when the individuals of the church give reason for the elders to lose joy, he is usually then doing his job under compulsion, which is spoken against earlier. Sometimes temporarily, or sometimes till he leaves the church. Church, you have a responsibility to make sure that all of our leaders serve with joy to the extent that is within your control. Each individual of the body of Christ, each individual of Vintage Church has a responsibility to make it a joy to be a leader of our church. There's one more aspect of your calling, and I think that's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:12-13. And it says, we ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace amongst yourselves. The church is to esteem the elders for the sake of peace. Now, men, we are not to esteem ourselves as leaders of the church, but the church is to esteem the elders for the sake of peace. Church, we are to hold highly and esteem the leaders of the church. We are to hold them in high regard as God's men who have been given charge over the church. Now, this doesn't mean, again, always agreeing with them. It doesn't mean making the elders out to be some superhuman beings, because that's not what they are. What it means is this. This is what respecting means here, I believe. Understand that your elders are fallen just like you. Understand that these men are men who are sinners just like you. And only by the grace of God are they upheld. Folks, I can tell you from experience that we still struggle with the same sin, the same doubt, etc., that you struggle with. So respecting means to understand that your elders are fallen just like you. Respecting means to understand that your elders need daily prayer. We are not superhumans impervious to sin. We need daily prayer. As a matter of fact, there shouldn't be a time where you can say, this week I did not pray for the leaders of my church. There shouldn't be a time. As a matter of fact, I hope that as Vintage Church, we get to a point where there wouldn't be a time where we couldn't say, this day, I did not pray for the leaders of my church. Elders need daily prayer. They're not impervious to sin. Respect means understand that we are men called and installed by God. When people in the church speak against a leader who is leading in the will of the Lord, folks, they are speaking directly against God. Now, hear the caveat there. Hear the qualification. When people of the church of God are speaking against a leader who is leading in the will of God for maybe something that you just don't agree with or just don't, you know, like, or it's not your preference, you are speaking directly against God. After all, is it not He who appointed that man into that position? So do your best to not speak ill of the leaders of your church. To your church, to the universal church, or to the lost especially. Folks, this will only be done by the grace of God that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel that has saved every man, every woman, every child that has ever been saved. The gospel that recognizes that man is a sinner. That man is not without mistake. That man needs a Savior because that sin separates us from a holy God. That man cannot save himself. That he cannot pull himself up by his own bootstraps. He cannot be good enough. He cannot work hard enough. And he cannot be approved enough in the eyes of God by his own works. He cannot save himself. That God made a way through the person and work of Jesus Christ, who existed simultaneously as both God and man, who came to this earth, who lived a perfect life, so that by one sacrifice of one man, all may live. He lived a perfect life. He went to the cross of Calvary willingly and knowingly to die for the sins of man. He was fully dead. He was fully buried. And after 3 days, He was made fully alive by the power of the Holy Spirit to make a way so that we could be reunited with God the Father. The plan of redemption for all of mankind has come through, that we may be reunited with God the Father and spend life eternally with Him. But not only that, folks, the beauty of the gospel is this, that when Jesus rose from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit, He left that Spirit with us. He left that Spirit with us. And folks, you need to hear this. Better is the Spirit inside us than Jesus beside us. Jesus had to go to heaven. It was necessary for Him to go to heaven so that the Spirit of God could be in man, working and changing and renewing him. Man, this is the only way. This is the only way you lead well, is to recognize your need for the gospel. Church, this is the only way that you can submit to the leadership of the elders. This is the only way that you can submit to the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Scripture, is to recognize your need for the gospel, but to recognize that we have the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, that will help us accomplish this great task.